You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. For a couple of events this week, we've got the Portugal Masters on the European Tour and we have the Zozo Championship coming up later on as well. Dave Tindall alongside myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio. And some success last week for the Golf Podcast with Justin Thomas winning the CJ Cup in Seoul, South Korea, put up by the man sitting opposite me here in the studio. Well done, Dave.
Yes, amazing, eh? Tipping a 13-2 favourite. It was nice. It kind of won the way. It's quite nice when they win how your sort of mind's eye has seen it. I thought he'd probably shoot a low number at some point and then just see it through. And he had a little wobble, didn't he, on the Saturday?
Yeah.
When Danny Lee eagled the last and he bogeyed. But to be honest, when I woke up the next morning, I thought, there's no way he's not won this. And so it proved. So he's just very, very good, isn't he? Very good front runner. I think that maybe the eighth time in 11 starts he's converted a win. So he's,
with the 54 hole so, yeah. Lead or co-lead.
Something like that, yeah. So he's, you know, he does get it done. And we just said off air, it'd be no surprise if he won again this week, would it?
No, we'll come to that very, very shortly. I got a full or half a place of Tyrrell Hatton as well, who finished tied sixth, which was nice, and meant ended that week in profit. And Justin Thomas was an easy winner to find. Nicholas Kolsarts was almost impossible to find in the French Open. On that particular golf course, you'd say it was a golf course that would suit Kolsarts least on the European Tour, and he beat George Kutsaya, who hit the front and then collapsed, and JB Hansen was in the lead approaching the final few holes. It was a sort of a European Tour Sunday, wasn't it, on a difficult golf course, and there were plenty of mistakes late on.
Yeah, I did think one of the sort of takeaways from that was the change in schedule had a big effect, because it was very wet and damp, which obviously meant the fairways were wider because the ball wasn't bouncing out.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of people who you think, someone like Kurt Kitayama, I thought there was no way he's going to play well again. And you had a lot of people you might class as big wayward hitters doing well. And it's got to, I honestly think if that had been played in July on a fast bouncy course, no way would we have
completely
had,
different result
that leaderboard. Yeah,
yeah. The fairways were and the greens were very receptive, weren't they? Last
so I thought
week,
it was a different sort of course.
Yeah, scoring was lower than I anticipated as well. I know. I think what won it in the end? 13 under, 12 under, 13 under. Yeah. So yes, I expected single digits to win it, as it has done in the past. But yeah, I think you're right. So given that looking, move to autumn.
If you look at it, I don't know. Is it going to stay there? Is that it now?
The European Tour schedule changes.
But if it is played again in autumnal conditions, then you'd have to have a bit of a rethink and think this year's results are more relevant than maybe July.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to this week then. We've got two events, starting with the Portugal Masters. Matt Wallace is the 10-1 favourite to win it. Martin Kaymer, 18-1. Adrian Aus is 20s, along with Eddie Pepperell. Lucas Biergaard is also 20-1. Jordan Smith and Tom Lewis both 22-1. George Kutsaya is 25s, along with Mikko Korhonen, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And I've got continuity with the venue here. The Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course in Villamora hosts once again this year. It's hosted this championship since 2007. And offers plenty of birdies, and the course only opened in 2004, so it's relatively new. It's a very easy par 71, measuring 7,191 yards with three par fives on the layout. And of the 10 events that have been played here, six of them have been won with 20 under or better, so we know exactly what it's going to take to win this championship. Tom Lewis is defending this week. He also won it back in 2011. Basically, hot putter required this week, and you need to be making plenty of red numbers.
Yeah, that's the sort of obvious look at it. The angle I've find interesting when you go down the list of winners. You've got Harrington and Shane Lowry. You've got two Open winners playing. We've got lots of people who play great in the Open, doing well. Bjerregaard has won it 2 years ago. He won the Alfred Dunhill Links.
Yeah.
You think the angle there is it's quite a flat, exposed piece of property. And Tom Lewis obviously made his name in the Open, didn't he? Led as an amateur. I think he was 11th this year as well. You've got loads of players, that Eddie Pepple, runner-up, excellent links record. So at first glance, you think, well, this isn't anything to do with links, but I think it correlates well. You've got Chris Wood, another runner-up there.
Yeah, yeah. Is that because you think it's so... I've looked at the weather forecast. The wind isn't expected to be a massive factor, but it can blow on the coast of Portugal.
I think the weather forecast looks fairly benign, but then when you look at weather forecasts, you get that kind of that gust section, don't you, where it does go up. So it does... move to 15 miles an hour, which it can do in that part of the world, then starts to make sense, doesn't it, where open, linksy, windy players do well.
And it's a nice place to play golf, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
4 days in the 70s, sunshine
guaranteed.
On the players' backs. Yeah.
You know, that's why all we Brits go on golfing holidays, isn't it, to Portugal. You know what you're going to get, sunshine and just nice at this time of year.
Yeah, I've not looked at the links angle specifically. I've got a couple of selections for the event, though. How many have you got?
I have got, I'm going to say three.
Are you? Yeah, yes. Are you confident this week?
Well...
You've got a little bit of a grin on your face over there.
Just happy after last week's winner. They're sort of decent prices. I think I do want to play up that angle, and obviously... If you just put it all in one player, then I think if it's spread the net, I think you will get a links type coming through.
Okay, you've got three then. I'll let you lead off. I've got a couple.
Well, I'll start with a fairly obvious links one, or very obvious, in Padraig Harrington.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got him at 66-1. I think that's a playable price on Harrington, who won this back in 2016, beat Andy Sullivan. And he's been playing better than you think of late. Sometimes... He has these terrible runs of missed cuts and you think, you know, he's really in a hole, and then he sort of comes out of it. But last five starts, he's made four cuts. He's got a 12th and a 15th. He was 26th at the Alfred Dunhill Links. Missed the cut in Italy last time, but with a second round 69, so not too bothered about that. But he's played this tournament, I think, about eight times, and he's got a win, a third, a couple of tied 16th, 25th. It's somewhere where he always goes and just seems to like it, even though... If someone said to you his record in Portugal was rubbish, you wouldn't blink, would you? You wouldn't think, oh, well, that's weird. But for whatever reason, and I'm thinking it's got to do with this sort of visuals and the land and the wind.
Yeah.
He just loves it there. So I think in his current form, he's playing well enough to sort of have a real go at this.
Okay.
And obviously we're not being asked to take 28s or something. If, say he'd had the top five in Italy, I think his price would really be... quite, you know, shortened up, but 66-1 is still sort of dangling there, so happy to play that.
Okay, Harrington, 66-1 is Dave's first pick. I'm going half the price of Harrington, 33-1.
I wonder if it's the same man as me.
Chris Paisley.
Yeah, very close with him, but
I'm going Chris Paisley.
Were you sort of wooed by his birdie run?
Yeah, a little bit, Paris, because you're Sunday. Going to have to make plenty of birdies this week, aren't you? And not only that, his stats on the week were good as well. I think it's probably unreasonable to expect a bigger price than 33-1 in a field lacking any real strength in depth. And we've had four English winners of this in the past.
Yeah, I looked at all the I counted six.
Did you?
Yes.
I know Tom Lewis has won it twice, but I didn't count him twice.
Oh, right. I still got six, though.
Okay.
I got Steve Webster, Lee Westwood, that's two. Tom Lewis, three. David Lynn, four.
I've definitely miscounted then, haven't I?
Right. It looks that way, yeah. Andy Sullivan, fat. Oh, yeah, six wins, but from five players.
Okay.
So six wins for England in 12 editions. Yeah. So that's 50% strike rate.
I think I've just counted the last 10 for some reason. Right. I don't know why I've done that. But
that's the way you count.
Yeah, that's the way my mind works, I think.
Tens.
Anything that's happened prior to a decade ago, I don't consider relevant anymore. But he made 10 birdies over the weekend in Paris.
Is that because you're a Man United Paisley. Fan?
Possibly, yeah. If I'm going by that metric, I'm not
it's
even...
the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not even thinking
about...
You
ignore the last 10 years.
Yeah. and this easier track, I think, should suit Paisley more than last week's Open de France course. He ranked third in strokes gained approach last week, which shows that those irons are clearly on strong, on song at the moment. And he gained strokes putting, which will obviously be crucial this week. His event form is very good, having logged a fifth place finish in 2016, 12th a couple of years ago as well. Those are his two most recent starts in Villamora. And his win came with the sun on his back in South Africa as well, in that low-scoring event. And I think he's pretty rock-solid at 33-1. And yeah, I thought that was a decent enough price on Chris Paisley, given the way he finished the weekend in Paris.
Yeah. His caddy is Jason Palmer.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I saw on Twitter. I didn't know that before the weekend.
He's brilliant. I sort of know him a little bit. He's been on Countdown. He also runs the fantasy football game. I play it and a load of golfers play it.
Oh, nice.
So it's quite nice. Sort of when you see your head of Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah.
He's a fellow Liverpool fan, so he just pick him up. All Liverpool players.
Is that a relatively new relationship then, that one?
Yes. Just this year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, just the start of this year. Right. But I did notice that's kind of a slightly just sort of cult point about running a fantasy football league. But yeah. I did notice on Twitter he'd said just how brilliant the boss had played in France. I think he birdied six holes in seven, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah.
So it's
only about 18 months ago that we were thinking Chris Paisley, was it a purple patch or was he really going to break through?
Yeah.
That's not quite materialised, has
no.
it? As maybe some people anticipated. But he just comes into this in nice form on a golf course.
Definitely
suits him.
Yeah. Go. Another 33-1 shot, Ryan Fox.
Okay. That's definitely the links angle then, isn't
definitely
it?
Definitely the links angle, but a bit more than that in the sense that he kind of vanished a bit, hadn't he? I don't know quite what happened to him. He just missed cut after cut through kind of the middle part of the year. And you're thinking, this is a bit odd. Couldn't shoot around in the 60s to save his life and don't quite know what was going on. Then he turned up at Royal Port Rush and finished 16th on the back of about eight missed cuts.
Yeah.
Clearly does like this links golf. And then he missed two cuts out of three, and you're thinking, was that just a one-off? But the last 2 weeks, he's got 18th in the Italian Open and 18th in the Open de France. So I think he's someone who's sort of trending in the right direction, as they say.
Yeah.
So definitely got to look for him. He blasts it a mile, doesn't he, off the tee, which is no bad thing on this course, I don't think. He's had two goes at it. First time he missed the cut, but last year finished tied 27th, and his round scores in the middle were 68, 64. So that 64, you can go low at this course, just didn't get it done on the Sunday. But as someone who's recognised links player, got a nice bit of form coming in and that bit of course experience, I thought he looks someone who could just sort of pop out now.
Yeah. Yeah,
33-1.
33-1, Ryan Fox, your second selection. My third selection, I'm going Hugo Leon, 80-1.
He's a funny one, isn't he? He's got loads of good form, and yet people still think he's sort of a bit of a competition winner or something.
A little bit like that. And we've not really talked about the subplot this week with those players just outside looking in. This is their last chance to regain their privileges.
How do you sort of view that?
I think he can work. I don't put too much stock into it because I think the pressure can weigh some players down rather than working in the opposite ways and inspiring them to strong performances.
I think it's kind of, if you have a journalist head on, you're looking for evidence of someone who pulls it out at the last minute, and then you ignore the 50 players who don't.
Exactly that, because you always get this.
You have a bias, don't you? You're looking for it.
Yeah, and you always get this moment on Sunday where someone's played exceptionally well to break through from 125th and make that way into it's the top 118, I think it is this year.
Right.
Regain their cards for next year because you've got some associate European tour members in that top 110, basically. So it extends out. But Hugo Leon's an interesting one because he's 120th in the race to Dubai, and obviously he's not got his playing privileges for next year yet. But he's actually played better as the season's gone on. So when the pressure's been at its most intense when he's having to log top finishers to have a chance of regaining his card.
He is doing.
That's when he's playing well. And he's given himself a real shot. He moved up another seven spots last week with that tie for eighth in the Open de France. And that came on the back of a tie for 17th in the European Open, finished 7th in the KLM Open in the Netherlands as well. And he picked up a tie for 5th in the Czech Open a couple of months ago, the Czech Masters, sorry. And Ben Coley, his piece on sportinglife.com, he's talked about the link between the Czech Masters and this event. And I think that's definitely one worth exploring. You see a lot of correlation there. So that 5th place in the Czech Republic really stands out a couple of months ago. And Hugo Leon was 2nd in strokes gained approach in Paris last week, which is no bad thing. Means he's going to hopefully set up loads of birdie opportunities this week. And if he has a decent week with the putter, which he didn't last week, but still finished in the top 10, I thought 80s would be a pretty big price on a guy that sits 120th and is looking to make that final push and retain his card for next year.
Yeah, he was certainly on my sort of list of 8 or 9.
Yeah, it was that sort of week, wasn't it, where it was 10 or 12 on the list for me.
Yeah. So I think I'm going right down to my very last sort of selection, just as a bit of fun.
Yeah, okay.
And to really sort of play out this links angle. Looking for the recognition of shock on your face when this happens. Paul Laurie.
Really? That is a shocker. Yes. 250 to 1.
Yeah. Listeners, Dave's just made a rude hand gesture. Yeah. No need for that. 250 to 1.
This would be a miraculous pick.
Good. This will. Yeah. You can play that clip next week when he wins. That exact quote.
I'll play this if he finishes in the top 50.
Oh dear me.
I'll play this if he finishes place, definitely.
Right. Okay. Well, 250 to 1.
Yeah.
Obviously. Paul Laurie now plays his golf at senior level, but he's been absolutely on fire of late. Won the Scottish Senior Open, then he's gone 7th, 2nd, 3rd in his last 3 starts. 3rd was at European Senior Masters last week, I think, or earlier, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So brilliant form at that level. Comes to a course now where he's been runner-up in the past. Yes, it was quite a few years ago, but he was 5th on his second most recent visit. That was 2016.
Okay.
So you'd class, I don't know, you'd say Paul Laurie's been in this veteran bracket for a number of years, and in one of those he was 5th.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So, and I don't think his game has deteriorated any, you know, it might even have perked up. Now he's focused on the, you know, cleaning up on the senior tour kind of thing. And you do still get them, don't you? And I think maybe at this time of year, it's a funny week in the terms of timing. I remember Davis Love won, didn't he, in the PGA Tour at Daft Price 500 to 1.
I remember that.
At this kind of odd time of year when there's no majors around. And so, and then some are looking for the card and everything. So, and it's not a great front end of the field either. So everyone's maybe just scrambling around a bit to save the card, or the best players are thinking ahead
about the Rolex, the end of season Rolex event.
So this is more maybe just a bit of, you know, trip to Portugal for a bit of a laugh. Well, I think for him, I just think there'll be a strange element that someone will be a bit weird on this leaderboard this week.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's him.
Okay, Paul Laurie at 250 to 1, Dave's final selection here. Let's talk about some of the leading contenders that came closest for you. Adrian Aus has to be the one for me. I know 20 to 1 is just too skinny, isn't it? The price is off putting there, but I think he will go well, and I think that many people will latch onto him as a thinking that he's almost certain to win. It might not come this season now, but I know a few weeks back people were thinking he's going to get one, and this week looks an ideal opportunity for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think there'll be plenty of people having maybe a little, the price is a bit skinny, but Mikko Korhonen looks very sort of solid each way material. He's got a course record that includes 4 visits. He's got a 3rd, a 9th and a 12th, so really does like this course, and he's played decent the last few weeks. Hasn't missed a cut for ages. The last 2 weeks he's had 17th and 25th, so he's kind of reliable.
I was looking at like the lights off.
Who specifically?
Yeah, I was looking at Shivanka Sharma at 50-1, and I like Dean Burmester as well at 66-1 as just a bomber that can get home with the putter.
I looked at Junghoon Wang at 66 because the last time, again, this Lynx thing was fifth at the Alfred Dunhill Lynx, but he looks like someone who's coming back to form.
He's good in windy conditions.
Yeah, he's got a fifth and a tenth. One in Qatar form, that could be another angle. That's obviously not a Lynx, but it's wide and exposed, and Paul Laurie won that.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a correlation between Qatar and
just
this
forget about this. Remortgage everything and get it all on Paul Laurie at 250.
Well, you don't have to, do you? Just took a fiver on him. Absolutely. He's got a grand, haven't you?
Yeah.
And more.
Any others you want to mention before we move on?
No, I think we've covered most of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, anyone backing an English player has got some nice history behind that with six winners in 12.
Okay, let's have a look at the Zozo Championship, which is in Japan this week. And Justin Thomas, looking to double up after his win in South Korea last week, is the 7-1 favourite with William Hill. Rory McIlroy is 15-2. Hideki Matsuyama is 16-1. Xander Schauffele, 20-1. Adam Scott is 22s, along with Jordan Spieth and Paul Casey. Tommy Fleetwood is 25-1, and it's 28-1. And bigger the rest, it's difficult to know exactly what to expect this week. And I didn't manage to catch any of the skins match at the golf course earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that?
No.
Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama,
Tiger,
and Rory?
Yeah, no.
Jason Day won most of the cash.
Yes.
But because of the figures they were playing for, who cares?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm probably one of those people who bought up watching Carry On films who only reads about it to see if somebody won foreskin, so you know, that's beyond that I'm not really interested.
It didn't really capture my imagination either. We've got another event here with a shed load of money up for grabs. Mm-hmm. 78 players in the field. It's a no-cut event. It's the inaugural edition. It's being played at the Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club. And it's not comparable at all with the course used last week for the CJ Cup. They look like completely different venues, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. You'd say hasn't it got double greens or something?
Yeah,
weird?
It's strange, isn't it? It's common in Japan, apparently. Yes. Every single hole's got two greens.
Yeah.
But this week, I think only the fourth hole is going to utilise the second green.
Yeah, he's going to get a drop, aren't you, if you put the wrong green.
Yeah, precisely. All the other 17 greens are going to be, it's going to be one specific green, and if you hit the other green, you get a free drop.
Yeah.
This course looks shorter and tighter than last week, definitely. It's a par 70, plays just over 7,000 yards. Unusually for a par 70, we have three par 5s and five par 3s on the scorecard. I can see strategy coming into play here a little bit more than we used to. When we see tournament play in the Far East, because we sort of think of these golf courses as like grip it and rip it, don't we?
Yeah.
Kind of venues where it's all about second shot and putting well. Zoysia fairways and rough bent grass greens being used this week. So maybe think Riviera, perhaps.
Yeah.
I looked at Innisbrook as well as a mature tree-lined golf course.
Yeah, any tree-lined course will help visually on this. We talked, didn't we, just before about Justin Thomas maybe going back-to-back. I think of when he won in Hawaii back-to-back, couldn't have two more different courses there, so he kind of just flipped the switch. And
Kapalua and then at Sony.
And then the stat from Sunday, he's played Asian Tour events nine times and won four, so he's got something he likes, isn't it, over there?
Yeah.
And, I think that there's an immediate reaction that last week's course was for him. I don't know about this week, but he's so good that...
I prefer, like we did last week, a similar price as Thomas to Koepka.
Yeah.
I prefer Thomas to McIlroy this week.
Right, why particularly?
I just think that win last week.
Yeah, he's just on a
I know McIlroy played in the skins game.
Yeah,
but this is much more a Justin Thomas course than a McIlroy course.
Well,
I think.
McIlroy does always say he likes tree lined
courses.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah.
I'm not compelled to back McIlroy this week. I have to say,
I like Thomas more than McIlroy this week. Maybe I'm It was an off-the-cuff remark saying that Thomas will be suited by this golf course more than McIlroy, but I prefer Thomas this week with that win last week.
Yeah, definitely say that.
But I can swerve both of them in a strong field where there's some, I think there's some each-way value.
Yeah, I'm not looking at the front end this time.
Couple of bets for me.
Yeah, I've got two as well.
Okay, shall I go first this time? Yeah, I'm going with Patrick Reed. 28-1 is my number one pick here. I was certainly looking at Innisbrook, as I mentioned, as a correlating course with those trees lining the fairways. And Reed stands out to me as a player to watch with a couple of runner-up finishes at that venue, combined with his recent form, which is outstanding. He won the Northern Trust Open not so long ago, and he's remained relatively busy since the Tour Championship, playing in Europe in the KLM Open, where he finished 15th, then at Wentworth, where he was very solid at the weekend en route to his fourth place finish there. He's had a short break since then, but that was probably required given how much golf he had played in such a short amount of time. And he's a winner, strong field, get the juices flowing for Patrick Reed, I think that. And if the wind blows, I think that will be an added plus as well. And it could get quite breezy this week. So I like Patrick Reed a lot at 28-1, and he's my headline selection here.
Yeah, good. My first pick is a bit of a speculative one, but I'm going to have a go on Jason Day.
Are you?
At 33s.
Having he won all those skins.
Having said I only read that report for a bit of a chuckle. I don't know whether... Yeah, I didn't really take much notice of the result as such, but I did read his quotes after it and maybe before it, and he was saying that he'd had a good coaching session for like a week with his coach. Was it Cole?
Yeah,
Colin, whatever he's used to be his caddy, but he's still his coach.
Yeah,
And he's also got the putter back from when he couldn't miss with it. He said it's a bit sort of battered, but he's gone back to that old putter I think he used in 2015 when he was just absolutely on fire.
Yeah,
And it played out nicely in the first round of the CJ Cup when he shot 66, and he thought, all right, Jason Day, here we go, reminding us of that he is, you know,
Jason
was
Day.
A world number one and quite recently. Didn't play out great the rest of the week, but I think he's too good to just vanish. And I think 33s, I can't be backing him at sort of 18s and 20s anymore, but 33s in a fairly modest field, I think is sort of playable. And it's just, I think it's just the knowledge that he's really on it in his head. He doesn't seem to have any health issues, touch wood. And he's got that putter back. I just think he's not just out here to collect a load of cash. I think he's done that in the skins, but I think he's out here to genuinely get his game back to something near top level. Don't know if he can quite beat everybody, but I think 33-1, he can run into a place.
Yeah, okay. Jason Day, 33-1, your number one selection this week, in this event anyway. I'm going with my second pick, Ryan Moore, at 50-1. It's a bit of a flyer, but this is the sort of course that could really suit him, in my opinion. He's a two-time winner in Asia as well, which is no bad thing. Took the CIMB Classic on back-to-back occasions. And having played well in the Far East, he strikes me as a good each-way bet. He's acclimatised with four solid, if unspectacular, rounds in the CJ Cup. Finished tied eighth there, so that was a good performance. And I'm hopeful he can build on that on this course, which is probably more suited to Ryan Moore's skill set than last week. So finishing eighth there, I think, is a definite positive, and I think he can go better this week. So 50-1, Ryan Moore, my second selection.
Yeah, I do really like Ryan Moore this week. I always think if he's in good form on this sort of course.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people correlate it with Eastlake as well, where he's finished runner-up.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to go for a 45-1 shot as my second pick. Byung Hun Ahn.
Yeah.
Did you look at him?
Yeah, because we talked about him on last week's podcast, didn't we?
And he did very well, didn't he?
He led after the first round, didn't he?
Yeah, finished sixth in the end, so he would have got a bit of the each-way cash. That came three starts on from his third at the Sanderson Farms, and he was third at the Wyndham as well, if you like Ryan Moore. Are we saying the Wyndham's a good correlating track? We are now.
Yeah.
So he's got some nice form, keeps popping up on leaderboards, and you think he will win a PGA Tour event soon.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it's probably his kind of most famous work was winning at Wentworth by six shots.
That was unbelievable that week, wasn't it?
Fantastic. And obviously that is tree lined and tight.
Yeah.
So I think he does do well on that kind of track. Putted really nicely at the CJ Cup. Good iron play as well. He was third on the all around there. So I think his game is in really good shape. fourth on the all-around at the Sanderson Farms. Obviously, the Asian angle as well. He's Korean, playing in Japan. That's just fine. So when I went to look at the prices, I thought he'd be collared a little bit more for his good play last week. So I thought 45 to 1 was fine.
Benny Arn, the pick at 45 to 1. So we've got quite a few selections this week, haven't we? Five in the European event and four in the PGA Tour event. So fingers crossed we can kick on from last week. Any others you want to mention then? We talked about Thomas and McIlroy. Hideki Matsuyama is going to be popular, I think, this week at 16 to 1 playing in Japan. That comes with its own pressures, though.
Yeah. Obviously, you make the obvious connection. Well, he's Hideki Matsuyama playing at home, but it's not like he's got like a modest record at home. It's fantastic, his record at home. He's won twice in his last five starts there, the Japan Open, the Taiyo Masters. So he's gone into events as like the big guy to look at and won them. I know they're only Japanese tour events.
He's beating up weak fields there, though, isn't he?
But you could still blow that. You could still think,
I suppose so.
You know, this is an open goal and make a mess of it. But he can play well there. I mean, it's been such a long time where we're thinking he's going to win soon. And it hasn't quite happened, has it?
And we're talking about short prices, aren't we, as well?
So
we're not talking about like 33, 40 to 1 every
16s.
Week.
Yeah, he won at Firestone, which is tree-lined.
Yeah.
So there's enough reason to back him, but I don't know, 16 to 1 just seemed a bit...
Yeah. And not many others caught my eye, really. I quite like Matthew Fitzpatrick, tree-lined golf course, tactical golf course, and he's been playing really well without winning. I think one's coming for him. 33 to 1 Matt Fitzpatrick was another one that was on my list.
Talking of Europeans, I wondered about, just for the price, Sergio at 50s.
Yeah.
Because you can see a kind of more technical track than last week's CJ Cup. He didn't play very well last week. But he was in decent enough form coming into that. He won in Europe recently.
Yeah.
I think 50s is a bit of...
insulting?
A little bit on for someone as good as him, yeah.
You know what I've forgotten all about, and I'm not even sure.
I have no idea what you're going to say here.
Yeah, I'm not even sure we've not spoken about it off air. We had a free lunch bet last week, and I don't even know which players were involved.
I haven't got a clue.
Or what the result was. Can you remember that, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just popped into my head when we were talking about we were getting into the end of the Portugal Masters preview, and I thought, I'm sure we had a lunch, but we resurrected the free lunch bet last week. I have no idea which players were involved.
Thomas versus Koepka, was it? Just making that up.
So. No, I don't think so. Because I like Thomas over Koepka. I can't remember who we had in it at all last week.
So
I'd have to listen back.
No recollection.
I'm sure one of the
all.
Listeners will be able to fill us in. So we'll try and come to a pleasant conclusion of that lunch bet. Maybe next week. Now
it's a shame we can't sort of play double or quits, can we? Because
I've no idea who's one up. So I'll listen back to that if I need to. Dave. It's been my pleasure as usual. Let's recap the selections for this week.
Yes.
Portugal Masters first up.
Yeah, so a couple of speculative ones. So I'll go a point each way, Ryan Fox at 33s.
Yes.
Then I'm going to go half a point each way on two veteran Open winners, Padraig Harrington at 66s and Paul Laurie, yes, you heard it, at 250 to 1.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Chris Paisley at 33 to 1, a point each way, Hugo Leon at 80 to 1. And in the Zozo Championship?
Yeah, at the Zozo, I will go a point each way, Jason Day at 33s, and a point each way, Benny Arn at 45s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Patrick Reed at 28s, and a point each way, Ryan Moore at 50s. What time's this Zozo Championship on? Is it just overnight again?
Yes, yeah, 8 hours, isn't it, Japan?
Okay, yeah. So
you can... it's all going on in Japan, isn't it? Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Zozo Championship. We didn't mention Tiger, did we?
No.
Do you have any...
Do you think he warrants a mention this week in terms of... I wasn't at all tempted.
No.
Off the course since August, played in this... He was apparently... I think he warmed into it because I was looking back through some of the tweets and... He appeared to be really chopping it round early.
Yeah.
And then I think he played a little bit better as the skins
Coming
match came
off
to its
some
conclusion.
More knee surgery.
Yeah.
Just people out there might have decided to sort of go with some policy where if Tiger's 33s or something,
they back
just
him.
Back him.
Yeah.
You know, that's not... Sometimes Somebody put up a clip of him winning the Masters again this week, and he still that still seems so odd that that happened.
Yeah.
Just like, how can that have happened?
Yeah.
Because he's gone back to sort of being injured again and he's kind of, will he, won't he ever be any good again?
Absolutely, yeah.
And yet during that, he's just, oh, just win the Masters.
And he's, I think you forget how good his iron play was at Augusta. Everything was seemingly pin high, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just a masterclass.
Getting him water and everything. Yeah. And, I don't know. I hope he plays well this week. But you kind of think a knee injury isn't as bad as a back injury, and it's just something. It's just
everything. It's got to. There's got to be an accumulation, hasn't there?
Well, you think he'd had enough already to be no good anymore. But maybe I suppose if you look at his two wins since he's come back. The Tour Championship and the Masters, he's kind of, in the build-up, he's dropped hints that it's coming.
Yeah.
They haven't been completely, amazing as they were,
yeah.
He'd been playing nice. So I think he needs a bit of a slow build, doesn't he? I don't think he just is rubbish and then can turn it on.
I can't see him being, he's not going to be fully focused this week, is he? He must be getting I'm sure he's getting an appearance fee, perhaps. I know there's lots of money on the table already for this Sozo Championship.
I read something about he's desperate to play in the Olympics, which is obviously in Japan.
Right.
So I think he'll want to sort of just put down something this week.
Yeah. How do they select two players? I've no idea, because obviously
there's the top two in the rankings. But then
hellishly strong American challenge, isn't there, for an Olympic place?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's only two players.
So I don't know. Yeah, I have to check out how that would be done. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I think...
Do you think the fire's still burning for Tiger then, even though he's won the match?
Maybe...
Do you think the Masters was like the... That was it? That was the one moment?
It'd be easy to say that. I think there are some fires in isolated places still burning. I think they would be majors, and I think maybe... The Olympics, I read the stuff. It didn't just seem like he was being diplomatic and he'd been cornered and asked. I think he genuinely wants to play in the Olympics because he knows he's coming to the end of his career and that's something he's not done. So the fact that this week we're in Japan, it just gives it a few more percent on his trying level, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us on Twitter at dkellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. If you remember what the free lunch match bet was last week, do let us know as well. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com. And don't forget, you can get this podcast every single week at audioboom.com just by typing in William Hill. And myself and Dave will be back to reflect on the Portugal Masters, the Zozo Championship, and look at next week's events on next week's podcast on Tuesday. So do join us again then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.